Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of Responsive Design Weekly, a weekly podcast all about responsive design. My name is Justin Avery, and I'm your curator and... what is it? A curator? I'm your podcast host and the curator of Responsive Design Weekly, a weekly newsletter that goes out. Funnily enough, all about responsive design. We're very responsive here. But this week is very little about responsive design, actually. I'm focusing on a couple of things which I came across while I was putting the newsletter together, and it kind of gave me the willies. Try not to swear on this as much, but it really, really annoyed me. First thing is, so I collect a lot of links, right? I do a lot of reading. I have a bunch of RSS feeds. I get emails of links. I have check my Twitter. I've got Hootsuite. I look at Flipboard a lot. I do Apple News. I try and keep across a lot of the things that are happening. I get a whole bunch of other newsletters from other people and steal all their good stuff. And what I've noticed is a lot of the stuff that's being shared, like a lot of the stuff that's being shared, is all coming through Medium. Now, Medium's a great platform and all. Like, I love the UI. I love how easy it is to get started. The writing interface is lovely. But I just, there's something about putting all of your hard work and your thoughts and your ideas and dropping it on Ev's blog, like medium.com. They get all of your readership. They get all of your SEO. They basically make all the money from all of your intellect. Now, I know that happens a lot, and it could be said that WordPress does the same thing by the .wordpress stuff, and also, Blogspot did it for a long time, MySpace. But, I mean, Medium's really taken off, and it's really taken off well. I mean, you could also say Twitter does the same thing as well. But for me, your blog and when you're writing about stuff should go on your own site. And one of the things that really annoys me about it is the URLs. So if you ever add... the add this code. So there's a tracking code, not a tracking code, but there's a social sharing JavaScript function you can drop onto. You download this, add this, and what it will do is it'll allow you to show your Facebook and Twitter and whatever other social networks you want to provide the ability for people to share the article that they're reading on your site on their social network. No one uses it. It's not used that much. People, if they want to share it, they'll copy the URL and they'll share it. They'll email it to someone. They'll drop it on Twitter. Having that share button there, I don't think does an incredible amount. Of course, it will depend on your site and what your users do. But one of the things I found with a client is that they had it on their site, and it kept adding a hashtag dot and then this string at the end to every URL. So if anyone ever bookmarked or if someone was copying and pasting the URL, it would appear a little bit strange because it always had this like anchor tag hash at the end of it. And it kind of played havoc with some of the anchors that are on the page. And the reason they do this is add this want to be able to show if I view the page and I share it, then they can see the number of shares that came about from the one that I shared, because it's kind of now a unique URL rather than the standard one. So I get it. Medium do this as well. So they're building like this big data web of who's sharing what and who's getting which articles from who and who's then sharing them on. And it's just, for me, it's a pain in the butt. When I bookmark an article, so I'll read a Medium article, I'm like, that's so interesting. I love that. But it's either early in the morning or late at night. So I hit bookmark and I use Pinboard and it pins it and it saves it. And then I will, it could be a week later, someone emails me a Medium article and I read it and I'm like, that's awesome. Or maybe 2 weeks later then. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And I hit add the bookmark. And the great thing about adding a bookmark is that if you already have it, it'll pop up and go, yeah, you added this on this date. But with this, because the hash is different, it considers it a different URL, so it will allow you to bookmark it again. And for me, my workflow and the way I work is that I can see the ones that I've bookmarked before, and it tells me if I've put them in the newsletter and what edition in the newsletter it was, and what I wrote about it, whereas this just doesn't do it. So anyway, that's just like a pet hate that I have, and hate's a very strong word, but it's getting right up there with Medium. And like I said, the other thing is that I think it's your content. You should publish on your own blog. I know that a couple of the people who are big advocates for their own blogs, people like Jeffrey Zeldman, people like Jeremy Keith, they write on their own blog and they do it a lot, which is great. But then they also syndicate that content out to Medium. So they still have their posts on Medium. So you still have that discoverability. You're in this ecosystem where a lot of people in our industry are going to and viewing content and reading and sharing. But the original article lives on your site. And when I see that sort of stuff, so I like I said, a lot of articles get shared and I go to Medium and I read them and I get to the bottom of it and it's like, this was originally posted on this site. Well, I go to that site and I bookmark that version of it and then I share that version, because when if someone finds a link in the newsletter, I want them to go to the person's site. They should get the traffic. If they have ads or if they're selling something or they just want lots of hits, then I think they should be getting all the traffic anyway. Now, there was a tweet today by Jeffrey Zeldman as well about a program called IFT, which is If This Then That, so IFTTT. And essentially what it does is it's an automation, it's a SaaS automation tool. So you sign up to it and you put some of the things that you work on. So for instance, I have it and I use it so that I connect my Facebook to it and I connect my Dropbox to it. I connect my Twitter to it. I connect some RSS feeds to it. I connect my WordPress to it. And what it will do, you can build these recipes. And so if this, then that. So if this happens, and this may be, what's an example? Okay, so if I am tagged in a photo on Facebook, so that's my if, or that's my this, then, and then my that is save it to Dropbox. So now every time someone tags me in a photo on Facebook, that photo is then saved into a folder on my Dropbox, so I have it there forever. Or I can check it and remove it, do whatever. Anyway, that's one example. Now, some of the things that I've done with it, well, let's have a look at what Jeremy did with it first. Jeffrey. So Jeffrey Zeldman found that you can post directly to Medium from WordPress using If This Then That. So you write an article on WordPress, so you set up your If This, so this is the article being written on WordPress, and your that is you want to post it to Medium. So you would then need to connect to Medium using your IFT account. So it is super simple. You should definitely go and try it. There's a lot of great recipes there. All the popular recipes are there. And someone pointed out on the Twitters saying, well, you don't need to use If This and That. There's actually a WordPress plugin which will automatically do that for you. And I have that plugin. I set that plugin up on surfthedream.com.au so that every time I post a new post or a new article on WordPress, it will then automatically post it directly across to Medium. And when it posts across to Medium, it automatically adds in a link of whatever I tell it to. And mine is, this article was originally posted on Surf the Dream here, and then and Surf the Dream here is the link back to the original post. So now I can write whatever I want using WordPress. It gets published on my blog first, and then it directs people, and then it pushes it out to Medium. And then if people find it there and read it there, they could be directed back. And if someone like myself came across the article, I would then share the one on the original site. So that's quite cool, and definitely, you should definitely try that. One thing, some of the other things I was using IFT for is if I find a cool tool somewhere and I don't have time to kind of copy and paste it or put it anywhere, or like I always find something and I forget about it. And I'm like, what was that website I saw earlier today? And I go back through my thousands of pages of history and I can never find it. So now I have a tool which I point to my pin board, which is my bookmarking tool. And so if I post something to pin board and I give it the tag of post JD, which used to be a thing called J Redesign. So the tag post JD then fires the action to take that pin and create a post on my WordPress called, and give it the category of links, and then give the title I give it, give the link to the actual tool, and then if I put any details in the, when I save the bookmark, that then gets added to the post as well. And then it's immediately posted onto my WordPress site. And then I have another follow-up one which looks for any new links that are posted to my WordPress site and automatically tweets it. And then I have another one which says if anything is automatically tweeted, automatically drop it onto Facebook. So I then have this thing where if I find a cool tool, which I found one today, which was called, I think it was Meet With Me. I can tell you what, I can go directly to my site and see it because I saved it. Hooray, it works. It was called youcanbookme.com. Oh, sorry, it's not. It was youcanbook.me. And it's great. So you connect it to your Google Calendar, and it gives people the ability to book an hour with you. So if you're doing consulting, or if you're doing like an Ask Me Anything, or Lunch and Learn or something. So I found this on an article by Jonathan Snook. People can then book your time out without you having to give them access to your calendar through this tool. So very, very cool. I found it. I hit save this bookmark. I added one extra tag in there, which was post JD, and then bang, it's on my website. It might get pushed to, I don't think I set it up to push these particular categories to Medium, but it's out on Facebook, it's out on Twitter, it's syndicating everywhere. Super helpful. So there's lots of stuff that IF can do. I also have one where I post all of the stuff that I post up on responsivedesign.is. Any of the new stuff goes automagically out to the Twitters and automatically onto Facebook. So there's a constant feed of content going out to my different channels as well. It just makes it a lot easier to publish into in lots of different areas. So speaking of WordPress as well, I had this funky thing as well, which one of my clients sort of went, the homepage is a bit weird, and so is the artist page. So we built this site for an art studio, and the people that took over the art studio decided that they wanted to update the URL. So we have this page called Artists, and so we had like the art studio name / artist, and then it was / the artist name afterwards. So a good clean URL structure. And for whatever reason, the people that took over decided that they wanted to change the URL from studio name / artist to studio name / studio name - artist / artist name. Now, that's kind of, I don't know if they were keen to get some more SEO around the studio name, but for me, that just makes it harder to share the URL, and there's a lot of duplicate stuff in there now, so I'm not a big fan of it. Besides the point, though, what happens when you do that? These artists were ranked fairly well in Google. People were linking to them. There were articles about them in other news sites. And by default, when you update a URL inside of WordPress, it doesn't add a 301 redirect. Now, what a 301 redirect is it when someone visits the site, or let's say when Google indexes your site, it knows where everything is. So when someone does a search, the result comes back. They click on the result. They end up where they should be going, or where Google thinks they should be going. Now, if you then go and change that URL and someone does a search, Google hasn't gone back to your site yet to check to see everything is in the same place. They do a search, they click on the URL, and all of a sudden that URL isn't there anymore. All right, and they go to a 404 page, which is a page not found. And it's a horrible experience. People aren't going to search around for it. They're probably going to be annoyed and go back to Google's results and go to the next result and click on that and go to the page that is there. So what this 301 redirect does is if a user clicks on it, goes to go to that page, it will automatically redirect them to the page that it has been updated to. So if it went from slash artist to studio name dash artist, it would automatically redirect them to the right page. So the user's flow isn't broken. The other good thing about that too is that when Google reindexes the site, instead of thinking that this renamed page is a brand new page, in which case you don't get any carryover SEO juice for it, starts from the beginning. And also when it looks for the older page, so the slash artist page, it can't find it. So all of the good SEO that you built up with that gets lost. Now, when you add this 301 redirect, when it looks for the old page, it gets a notification. It's like, hey, Google, chill. I'm glad you're still looking for this page. You now need to go here to slash studio name dash artist, not just artist dash artist, and find the stuff that you want. But it's all the same that it was before. So don't lose all the good rankings that you had. And that's what the 301 redirect is, and everyone's happy. Anyone linking back to your site, users are going to be automatically redirected. Google users are automatically redirected. So it's a great thing. So if you do have a WordPress site, don't go in and just change website URLs willy-nilly without having some grasp of the knock-on effects that are going to happen when you do that. Now, there is some there's some cool stuff, actually. There's another point to that as well, but before we get into that, there is a good plugin that you can use. So if you go to look at the plugin called Redirection, so Redirection is a WordPress plugin to manage 301 redirections and keep track of 404 errors without the need to understand server stuff. So this is really cool. It's free. It has over 500,000 installs. It was last updated 2 weeks ago. The person who manages it has 22 other plugins that they've created. It looks like the real deal. And it looks automated so that when you do change those URLs, if you do change those URLs, it will handle that for you, or at least allow you to update the 301s in there itself. So the other thing, the reason this came up with this client is because one of the things that you can do when you start getting into customizing your theme or your template, if you have a custom template designed for your WordPress site, is that you can name the template. So you might have a template called page.php, and that controls the layout for all of your pages. Then you have a template called post.php, and that controls the layout for all of your posts. Now, if you decide that a particular page requires a different layout or a different set of functionality, then you can customize that. So, for example, I created a template called, I should have had this up already. It was called page-artist. And the reason it's called page-artist, instead of trying to link that template to a page in the CMS, if you call your template the same name or the same URL that your page has, then it will automatically inherit it. So by default, all pages within the CMS automatically inherit page.php. Now, if there's something a little more explicit, like page-artist, then any page URL that has artist in it will then inherit page-artist. So this is what we had. I created one called page-artist, created this layout where it was like this grid which you could, show and hide different stuff and click through to the users. But it was hinged upon that dot, the fact that the page was called artist or the URL was artist. When they updated it from artist to studio name Dash Artist, the template stopped working because the page dashartist.php no longer had a URL to reference to automatically display. And instead, it displayed just a blank page because it defaulted back to page.php and there was no actual content in the CMS for that page itself. So that's another reason you need to be careful when you're changing URLs around. If you have a set of custom templates, that could cause an issue. There are other ways to achieve this. You can create templates which you can choose from within the CMS. So you have a drop down. You're like, oh, I want to use the homepage template. I want to use template 1, template 2, template 3. And then you can use a drop down in the CMS itself. This approach makes it a little bit more automated so that people don't have to think about it. It's sort of done in the back end and it just works. But of course, if you then start updating stuff, it can break and it can be a little difficult to track down exactly why it broke, which is why I thought I might share it, because someone could be having that same problem. So that's it for this week. Thank you again for joining. If you have any questions or things which you're like, I wonder how this works, or I was having this problem, be sure to shoot it in. You can grab us either at justin@responsivedesign.is as an email. You can drop a question on our contact page there as well. That is probably the easiest way. So go to responsivedesign.is/contact. Fill out a form, ask a question. Otherwise, we'll continue to send these out. Next week, I'm looking at a couple of different tools, which should be exciting. I've had a bunch of tools which I've been going through, adding to the site and getting them all set up. New plugins, new tools for responsive design. It's coming together in anticipation for a talk that I'll be doing later this year at the end of October, I think it was, which is kind of around like what's next with responsive design in 2017 and where are we heading to. So that should be fun, and getting some examples and sites and tools and stuff sort of for that. So I'm really looking forward to that. But until next week, thank you very much again for joining us. If you can, rate it up in iTunes. I always appreciate that. And until then, we'll see you next week. Cheers, everyone. Bye.